This week we party like it's 1939 after hitting the road for a little redemption. Holy suit! This and more on episode 134 of Indie Game Riot. Hey everybody, this is Josh, and I am here with Mr. Eric M. Hunter, the manliest man in Cincinnati.
The M stands for murderer.
Yeah, extremely manly murderer. We're going to talk about indie games, if you didn't guess. We've got Cuphead coming up, we've got Road Redemption, a free game called Holy Suit, if you didn't get it from the intro. But first, how's your week been? Or a couple weeks, actually, because we missed last week because of personal schedule of things.
Because somebody was... you had your judging thing, didn't you?
I'm still doing it. I got a month to do it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
No, man. It's we're in October now, so this is my month.
Is it your month?
This is how I live my life. So October...
In masks?
Is the... What? No. No?
I don't know. I thought you were going deep with that, like you wear a mask in life, hiding your emotions.
Oh, no.
Real sad.
I got real creepy. Thanks. No. no, man. October is the month to be alive. So we've got, we're running 31 Days of Horror in October.
Ooh.
And then October 31st marks my birthday, so.
Oh, you're born on Halloween?
Born on Halloween. I'm Satan's spawn.
Spooky fuck you.
So it's today we're recording on the 4th.
That kind of sucks though, because like instead of people giving you candy, you have to give candy to them on your birthday.
I don't know what that means.
Because it's Halloween, you just give out candy.
Yeah, no, like the wife is handing out candy. Me and the kid are going trick-or-treating. And I'm going to fucking slam it, is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, that's the best when they're young, too, because then you got to eat all their candy.
Oh, look, he's so cute. It's okay. He's got a peanut allergy. Just give me all those Reese's cups.
Yep. Actually, that's right. We end up going twice. And because we go once in Hershey, which is like a more well-off area. And by Hershey, I mean like Hershey, the town that makes the chocolate.
Right.
And it's not only is it well off, but of course, being Hershey, everyone has the fucking Hershey candies. And they always get the king size, or at least regular size, instead of like the stupid minis. So, and then not only do I get to steal from my kids, but they also give extra sometimes for me, because I'm just there. And they're like, here, you have one too. I'm like, oh, well, you shouldn't have. Give me a
little. Oh, okay.
If you insist. Yeah. So, that's the best. We're actually making our kids' costumes this year. We got, my daughter's going to be Arwen from Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
If you don't know the movies, it's the one Liz Tyler plays. Or Liv Tyler. Sorry. And then my son's going to be Frodo. And we're making a costume. What's your son going to be?
We're doing the Toy Story this year. Mm-hmm. So I will be Woody. The wife is going to be a little Bo Peep. And then my son will be a sheep.
If we had enough resources, I'd dress up like Gandalf. But
it's the hat. It's the hat that does it. If you don't have the hat, then it kind of throws it off.
Yeah.
Then you're just like some creepy old guy in a robe that... bathrobe that won't get out of the
chair. Hasn't shaved for 20 years.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't think I'll ever be able to grow a wispy wizard beard, and that's kind of upsetting to me.
Yeah.
You could always facial get prosthetics. Hair is too rough. Prosthetics?
Of course. Yeah. You know, like go and get the surgery done and get somebody else's hair.
Oh, yeah.
Surgically added.
Do you want to donate?
I mean, if you want to talk about course, man, I mean, that's... I'm the name of the game right there. It doesn't get more coarse than mine.
But if we put ours together, it could look like a fro beard. Actually, that's what happens a lot. Mine poofs out. I've taken a pick to my beard.
Yep.
and it's been like looking like a
headshot. Yeah, this is, for those who are watching the stream, like, this is as long as my beard usually gets, and it's already like annoying as shit.
I do need to shave and buzz my head. It's too messy right now. I'm and like, I got like one, maybe two more chances, because once the winter rolls around, that's it. I'm not shaving shit because it's too fucking cold.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous.
And this winter is supposed to be particularly cold. But you know what's a good way to warm up, Eric Hunter?
Is it an indie news injection?
Yeah, taking an indie news injection.
Are you bored with the same old games?
Yeah.
Why, then give yourself an indie news injection.
Thanks, indie games.
This week on Indie News Injection, we've got a very special announcement for Indie Game Riot. I'd like to, as he takes a big swig of his drink, I'd like to formally announce that Eric M. Hunter, up on my right side, has officially joined the Indie Game Riot team in the full-time capacity. Well, full-time meaning like permanent capacity, I should say. That's a better word. In the permanent capacity. So, everyone, fat for him. And
I'm excited.
I can't wait to work you to the bone for no pay.
Good.
As I sit back on my ass.
Can't wait to really dive deep into IGR and turn it into Eric M. Hunter's game, right?
Well, actually, I mean, not giving any details out, but we've been talking after streams and stuff like that about particular ideas we've shared with each other. So maybe those will come to fruition in a crossbred, weird spliced relationship.
Maybe.
At the end, it'll just end up saying, "Kill me, please, kill me. I'm suffering."
It'll be a black web page with white blinking text that just says, "Kill me."
Yeah, on the deep web, like a red room.
Right?
That's dark. I don't like that.
But no, I am excited.
Honestly. About the Red Room?
I think. No, just to be part of the... No, I mean, it's... You know, you've hosted me as guest for a few months now, which has been awesome. I feel like the general mythos and the backbone of this site is definitely my bread and butter, so it's good to see hardworking people... do good work when it comes to indie games. So I am super excited to be a part of that. So
and Rev, just if he needed it for some reason, gave his blessing.
Man.
He gave his blessing. He's like, I would love to have Eric on as the permanent third host. And by the way, update on Rev for those of you who've been around for a while. For those who are new, which there are some in chat right now, we've been dealing with a lack of hosts. One kind of disappeared off the face of the earth. And the other had financial issues, and his computer blew up, and therefore could not purchase another one. However, he gave an ETA today of potentially December, January, assuming no like other financial emergencies pop up. So, looking forward to having Rev back. I'm in the talks with another guy to potentially come on temporarily during that time, but we'll see. You know, it depends if he likes us or not. A lot of people come on the show and regret their decisions, which is always a fun time.
Well, I mean, I don't think we hold a whole lot back, which is nice.
I don't know if that's actually true, but I do know for a fact that we've made some people uncomfortable, not in a way that like ugh, you know, but like they're just not used to
the truth,
the laid backness of this show. They're so used to like fucking IGN professional shit, you know, whatever.
Well, I don't have time for that.
Yeah, no, people like the laid back stuff. That's the same reason that they like the Indie Revolution Expo, is because compared to like other conventions, we're so laid back. Anyway. So yes, welcome Eric. I'm glad to have you on, and may our, future ventures be fruitful. As fruitful as our loins. Anyway, next up for actual indie news, indie game news is what I was trying to say, not to be redundant, is IndieBox. Those of you who have been listening to us for a while know that they've been sponsoring us through like affiliate links, and whatnot for a while now, and we were talking with them and supported them since like the very beginning of their company. It was a super cool idea, subscription box for indie games, similar to Loot Crate, but specifically for indie games, and they made really cool stuff.
Yep.
However, they recently sent out a news flash.
Injection?
Yeah. A news flash that their Torchlight 2, the next box they're shipping, will be their last. And that's not because the company is going away, but they're pretty much pivoting to do something else. Because they've not only have they been doing those subscription boxes, but they got involved with making like collector's editions at GameStop. Or just collector's editions in general for indie studios that want to sell it at like conventions and things like that. And it seems like that's the direction that they're going in. So I guess they, you know, they don't really go into details as like why that is, but that's what they're doing.
I think we could probably surmise a pretty good idea.
I mean, probably not as much money in the subscription box unless you're Loot Crate with tens of thousands of subs.
Yeah.
But I wish the best of them because they're cool and they really do support indies. They gave 70% of their profits to the developers that were part of the subscription box, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's and, super ballsy.
Hopefully we can still get them on as like sponsors for IRX, because that's kind of because now they're targeted less at indie game fans and more at indie devs. So I think it'd be a really good audience for them to like connect with. As far as like making collector, because if you made a game, wouldn't you want a collector's edition of your game made?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, I think if anything, what would be great would be to hear that story of how they got started and those sit down talks that they had with these developers of like, look, this is what we want to do, and we have an idea of like all this physical shit that we want to produce for you to send out to these subscribers. Like, I would love to hear that story.
Yeah, I mean, I guess technically we could still get them on as a sponsor for the show, but. It wouldn't be like an affiliate link per se, I guess. Maybe I'll email them soon. Anyway, so that is the thing. If you cared about IndieBox, sorry, but no more subscription boxes. But if you're a dev, be excited. You know what else you should be excited for? Do you want to take this one?
No.
All right. Hey, I was just seeing if you wanted to get started on your job.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing that's happening.
Oh, okay, so Chucklefish's Magic School RPG, more details and date and combat and influences.
It's all right, I'll do it. So Chucklefish, who is a publisher, also made Starbound and things like that, are apparently partnering with the guy that made Stardew Valley to make another Stardew Valley-esque type game with a working title called Spellbound. Essentially, they're describing it as Stardew Valley mixed with Hogwarts, like Harry Potter, which is actually really exciting to me.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I really like Stardew Valley more than I ever thought I would. And mixing it, and I'm not like a huge Harry Potter fan, but it just seems like a really cool universe to bring that style of gameplay into. With spells and whatnot, so I'm pretty jazzed that this is the thing that's happening. The article I actually have up is a newer article, so I didn't get a chance to like read through the whole thing. So I was trying to see if there's any extra information because I just found it like right before the show.
Oh, he basically just goes on about kind of like what his influences are. So he talks about Stardew Valley, and obviously there's a big Harvest Moon connection there.
Yeah.
And that he likes finding those sandboxes and kind of like exploring what, you know, like how to an nth degree, like what you can really do with them. He basically says, let me see if I can find the line, but it's something, and it's just like, man, what if we could just do, oh, here it is. Characters want to be a little bit more independent. You might get dumped if you behave in the wrong way, but don't necessarily expect a Riverdale with witches and wizards, though. We want to hit close to home, but in a way that provokes an intense nostalgia. So this guy knows, he knows exactly like his niche, which is why I feel like this game is going to kick ass. Because even so, like Stardew Valley, like I played a little bit of it. I wasn't a big fan. I feel like it's a game that I probably could play if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I'm just not... That's just not my style of games, which is fine. I mean, I still respect what it is.
Ironically,
but this guy
we have Stardew Valley music playing right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
But this guy knows how to scratch that itch when it comes to that nostalgic factor. And, like, I applaud him for it because you see devs that come in and they kind of flirt with that line, and it's like... like one of my go-tos is always like, if it's a run-and-gun game, usually there's always a spread shot, you know, from that mimics like Contra from the old days.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, that's total Contra. Like, all right, good on you. Like, Contra's the shit. But man, he just goes for it. So, like, I think even if, like, the magic and the wizardry stuff of it, if it's just even if it's just on the surface, like it doesn't dive that deep, I still think this is going to be a kick-ass game.
Well, I think, I mean, with Chucklefish's resources, and they're kind of known to take particular genres, kind of like what they did with Starbound, and expand on it mechanic-wise, I think it's going to be really... I'm heavily optimistic, because between that and then Concerned Ape, who did Stardew Valley, who had all these ideas to expand from... You know, he was able to make a Harvest Moon-inspired game without making it Harvest Moon, and by adding so much to it and so much of personality and charm that it was its own thing. And I think that between the resources and his inspired creativity, this could be really something special. And potentially, as long as they don't fuck it up, potentially dethrone Stardew Valley for what it was, which I believe outsold like some huge AAA titles on Steam many times over.
Oh, it's crazy.
And by the way, he had to pay Chucklefish because they published Stardew Valley, but he's a one-man team. That's a lot of money that he made then. God damn.
Yeah, it's and on top of that, he's one guy who made this game. So like that, that's killer. Those are great stories.
And actually, the art too is really nice. It, again, reminiscent of Stardew Valley mixed with a little bit of Starbound. But I like how they've added like some dynamic lighting and things like that with in some of the screenshots that they're showing. There's some good detail. It's I'm not sure how many bits that would be considered for pixel art, but it's pretty detailed. And then of course the music, as you've heard, which I'm sure will be fantastic as well. You know what else is fantastic?
No idea. The game that is absolutely terrifying that I will never play.
Raft has been picked up by a publisher and is coming to Steam Early Access in 2018. We talked about Raft before on Free Fun, back when it was a free game, and I believe it still is, on itch.io. But they've been picked up. Redbeat Interactive, by the way, is their new developer name, because it used to be like Raft Team or some bullshit. Mm-hmm. But they're now being published by Axolot, which is cool. And it was a really unique concept on the whole ocean survival thing. It looks like they're adding probably some land to come across in the last
part. Yeah.
Which I guess, it's good, although it kind of defeats the purpose of Raft. As long as they make the land not like too, like as long as they don't let you depend too heavily on the land.
I was going to say, make it permanent, I guess, is the course.
Yeah. Because the whole point is that you're making this huge raft with all these, it's physically, I don't see how it could really work out the way it does in the game, but that's besides the point. It's still fun to make your huge raft with like these towers, and you can grow, you can have plant plots, and you can get shit out of the ocean to build with, and you fight off a shark. One of the things I kind of criticized, it wasn't criticized, but more of a suggestion because it was a free game, was that they could probably use more threat. Because once you get to a point, the shark doesn't really threaten you. And it might, like, take off a chunk of your boat, like a little square. and you just immediately replace it and you kill the shark after however many times, and you only ever get one shark at a time. And, you know, there's nothing really threatening your survival in that case. So that, I think that was the biggest thing that I'd like to see as they make this, is to make it to make it a complete game where it's not just boring after a while, is to have like something that's constantly looming over you to make it challenging. So, I'm sure they're looking at that.
Yeah, I mean, you could go straight Oregon Trail with it and make it, you know, like you have to worry about, you know, food spoiling or dysentery or, you know, all kinds of shit like that if you wanted to.
Who wants dysentery?
Yeah. No, this game absolutely terrifies me and I will never play.
You don't like the ocean?
It's not the ocean that I'm afraid of. It's what I don't know is in the ocean that terrifies me. So, like this.
Which is like everything, by the way.
Pretty much. So this trailer does a perfect job because there's a spot where, like, as the character in the game, you dive into the ocean and swim down and find a treasure chest. And, I don't know. It's a quick.
That's new.
And
too.
Then like, yeah, and then like the shark just comes out of nowhere and just like tries to bite the shit out of you. Like, nope, I'm good. No, thank you.
I used to want to be a marine biologist and specifically to study sharks. I used to want to do that. I love sharks.
Nope.
But I get it. It is, the ocean is a scary place, especially when you think about how deep it is and all the kinds of, the fact that we know less about the last, we know less about the ocean than we do about outer space. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, Raft coming to early access 2018 on Steam.
If somebody wants to do a let's play of this game, I will watch that let's play, but I will not play this game. Just not gonna do it.
I'll do a let's play. I don't care. Whatever.
I don't do it.
I'll take your ad revenue that you probably won't give me because you have ad blockers.
That's right. But if you're not even gonna monetize, what does it matter?
Exactly. But I monetize everything because I'm whore.
Oh, you shouldn't do that.
Yeah, people use ad blocker. Who cares? What does it matter?
Also true.
People that want to support can. You know what else? Speaking of support. We're going to support the next game coming up in Starting to Riot. Huh? This week on Starting to Riot, we are talking about Cuphead, a game that people have been watching for fucking years. Finally has come out, although people are a little pissed off because it was exclusive to, I guess you could say, Windows. It's not, it was like not necessarily Xbox One, but the Windows, because it's on PC as well.
Yeah, crossplay.
Yeah, but you cannot get it on PS4. That's what people were upset about. Personally, I don't give a shit because I don't play these kinds of games on console. I know you do, though. How does that make you feel as a console enthusiast?
As somebody, I mean, if Microsoft is going to come to me and say, hey, you know, we see that you made this boss rush kind of game, and we think there's a lot more potential here, and you can make a much better game, here's, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, I'm okay with it. Because it's going to come to PlayStation 4 regardless in a month or two.
So yeah, it will matter, eventually,
but,
yeah.
But just the fact that a publisher was able to sit back and be like, we see a golden opportunity here and we want to bring you on this journey, fucking make it happen. You know what I mean? Like, I'm all for it.
Yeah. So Cuphead, the first thing that you're going to notice is the animation art style of this. Reminiscent of the 1930s style animation, where kids' cartoons were pretty fucked up, to be honest with you. But that was like the main thing of this game, and where they drew most of their inspiration was the art. Originally, too, this game was supposed to be... part of the reason it took so long to come out is that this game was supposed to be simply boss battles, kind of like what Boss 101 was, if you saw me stream that the other day. Basically just a shmup, or bullet hell, or whatever. People were like, no, we want more than that. We want more than that. So they decided to continue development for however long and added a whole bunch of platforming levels into it to add more to the game. And this game, since it's come out, people have said it's incredibly challenging. And we missed our discussion point. I just realized. Oh, well. maybe next week. Anyway, it's incredibly challenging. However, they have two different challenge settings for the game. And they have normal, and then they have simple mode. And it was a little bit of a controversial because their simple mode actually just takes chunks out of the game, I guess, that they deem too hard. So how does that make you feel? Like, the game is hard in itself, the normal mode.
Right,
so maybe someone who's more casual wants to play the simple mode. But then they can't get the full game if they do that.
So it's the mistake that Dark Souls didn't make, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's the... Because, I mean, Studio Japan could easily have gone like, oh, well, if we want more casual gamers to play this game, we can just make it easier, we can soften these enemies up, or we can completely take them out. But they were like, no, like, fuck it, this is the game that we're creating. If you can't play it, then you're just not good enough, move on.
You're not good enough for us.
I mean, which is fine. You know, it's a viable excuse, you know? And I feel like when I read that Cuphead and their developers, they brought that mode out, and I was like, you guys are just going to shoot yourself in the foot, because at the end of the day, this game is not for a casual gamer. And right. God, I hate using those words, because, you know, what is a casual gamer? What does that even mean? Blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. I feel like they bastardized this version because Microsoft made them bastardize this version, which is the downfall from
using a big publisher.
Exactly. Now, it may come out later that they decided that this was their idea all along. And if that was true, then I will be more than happy to eat crow. But from somebody who follows shit like this and reads between the lines and has been playing games as long as I've been playing games, like, this was definitely we're sitting at a boardroom meeting and Microsoft says, no.
You know how we need more money, so we're going to need to expand our audience.
Yep.
And you're going to need to make it a little easier, because the 70-year-old men in this room couldn't get past the first level.
Exactly. So here's where the real question becomes, is what do they do after this? So where do they go from here is what's really going to prove if a Cuphead was worth it or not. Because don't get me wrong, the game that they set out, I don't know if you remember this, but when this game first debuted, like the very, very first time was during an E3, and it was in a presser event for Microsoft, and it was at the end of their event when they were showcasing just a shitload of random games, like really quick, like, well, this is a game, and here's another game, and here's another game. It was this very small clip of Cuphead, and that was all that people wanted to talk about was Cuphead, and like, what is this game? Like, it looks amazing, it looks like old school cartoons, like, oh my god, like, I want to play this game, give me more information about this game.
Mm-hmm.
So, for anybody who thinks that, you know, like, you need more than just a, you know, a 10-second trailer is bullshit. I mean, like, Cuphead proves that. And maybe they're the exception that proves the rule true. Either way.
Well, they're the epitome of judging a book by its cover, to be honest. Because, I mean, it's the art style that the art and animation
brings you in.
Brought
right.
people in, yeah.
So, it'll be interesting to see where they go from here. Because this game, in my opinion, is a one and done. There's no reason to bring out a sequel. There's no reason to expand this in any other way. Just you know it's a full game. Just yeah, probably.
You know they will.
I know, but their next game is what I'm going to be more interested in.
Well, I mean, unless there was some sort of like exclusivity contract with Microsoft, where Microsoft basically owns Cuphead now, which is a terrible idea for any of you devs out there. Just never sign that contract, no matter how bad you need funding. But anyway, maybe their next game they'll self-publish. Who knows?
Yep, could
be. That said, some other things that are interesting is that they, again, with the whole 1930s style, they went with that in the audio as well, which,
yep.
I mean, obviously not born in the 1930s, but I've seen a lot of those old cartoons, you know. I mean, I still...
Yeah, there's still a lot watched, on YouTube.
I still watched a lot of them on TV,
yeah.
You know, watching the old Looney Tunes and Disney stuff and as fucked up as they were. And it brings back a lot of nostalgia, even though I wasn't born in that era. It's just weird because like the audio is super low quality. Like, I mean, like you talk to the shopkeep and he basically like yells at you like I forget what he says, but basically like, what do you want?
Right, like the old school.
You know, what do you want? And it like peaks. It like peaks the microphone, and you can hear like the reverb in the room and shit.
Yep.
Good times. And one thing I just to name drop, I met the guy who actually animated, or at least one of the animators of the game,
nice.
At a Newgrounds party a few years ago. Yes, I've been rubbing elbows. I was invited to an exclusive party.
The caviar was amazing.
Actually, they had free beer and burgers and hot dogs.
Oh, good stuff. Then it was totally worth it.
Yeah, hell yeah. It was a good time. So, Cuphead is by Studio MDHR. And is currently, how much is it currently? Because I
$19.99.
Thank you, $19.99 to buy on Steam and Xbox One. By the way, it is single player, but you can also play co-op mode. Hence, Cuphead and Mugman are the two characters. And to give a little insight into the story, too, you are Cuphead and Mugman. You went gambling at Satan's Casino because someone thought that was a good idea, and Satan basically bets you. You're on like a really good run. He bets you, say, okay, roll one more time, and if you get it, you can have everything in this casino, all of my loot. But if you lose, I get your souls. You know, the classic Satan.
Right.
And
classic Satan.
That silly Billy. And of course they lose. Hence the conflict of the story. And instead of taking their souls, they plead with him. Is there anything we can do? Don't take my soul. Don't take our souls. And he says, okay, fine. If you get these other people that owe me a debt, get their souls for me, I will let you go. And hence you going off to fight all these boss battles and whatnot, because those are the people or things that you are taking the souls from.
Right.
And there's more to the story to explain why you're shooting shit out of your fingers. It's all cartoony, though. It's not really important. Important right. thing is that it's fun, especially if you like difficult games that are shmups and or bullet hells and or platformers.
There you go.
Oh, and you can buy like a Super Collector's Edition that comes with a vinyl soundtrack.
Oh, nice. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and then, which, of course, would probably sound fantastic with this old-ass music.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So if you're into it. Anything else you want to talk about Cuphead-wise?
Take notice. Like, I think this game's going to... This will be a game that's been talked about for a while now. So
witness your greatness. Maybe it's going to end up in the future Indie Game Hall of Fame that we're going to start.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I mean, you never know.
I wouldn't go that far.
I'd go halfway.
I got a little bit. I'll go a little bit.
A little bit of Hall of Fame. You know what else we're going to put a little bit into?
Some Road Redemption.
Peep Show!
Please give all your attention to Early Access.
This week on Peep Show, we're talking about Road Redemption. Would it be a spiritual successor to Road Rash? Or is an actual successor to Road Rash?
Not to inspire any kind of copyright infringement, so I'll just say it's in lieu of.
Okay. Inspired by.
Yeah.
Road Rash.
I mean, the developer alone, even today. So today is the official "quote unquote" release day, even though he, or she, they, what's the name? Pixel something. Pixel Dash Studios.
Yep.
And EQ Games. I know they were on the outs with whoever for a while because there was some DMCA copyright bullshit that was coming through because it was so tied close to Road Rash. Because mm-hmm. I think the original idea was they were going to make this and hoping that they would be able to get the Road Rash name to slap on it. And, you know, there's a big no to that. So yeah, this game is basically a super next-gen updated version of Road Rash from way back in the day, from like the pixelated version from like the Sega Genesis or the Sega Mega Drive, depending on where you were in the world, to the version that I fell in love with, which was on the PlayStation 1, mm-hmm. Which had like live-action cutscenes and shit like that. So
was it live-action? I don't remember.
Yeah, there was live-action cutscenes because I remember... You were the character you played was the guy in the motorcycle helmet that had the shield down. so you could never tell, like, obviously who the guy was. But the money was completely fake and, like, five times too big than standard money. And the trophy was large but super light because people would just pick it up and throw it. It was great. That was when I first discovered Soundgarden as a band, because the song Spoon Man was part of the soundtrack. And I have forever fell in love with Soundgarden. And
isn't that weird how, like, there are a lot of songs I've been in games in the past that I've played that I probably am only a fan of because of those games.
Yep.
Like Rob Zombie and Twisted Metal, I think we talked about before.
Yeah, we talked about that. I think I mentioned, I was going to forget it. Crazy Taxi and Offspring.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
A lot of songs from Tony Hawk.
Oh, fuck yeah. Tony Hawk. Unbelievable the amount of songs with Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
I hope this game does well just because I love this type of, like, vehicular manslaughter.
Is it manslaughter? Or I think it's more murderish.
Well, I mean, you know, whatever works.
I was carrying this shovel on my motorcycle and I accidentally busted the cop in the head with it. So please only give me 5 years as opposed to 25.
Right, please. I feel like from somebody who plays a lot of old school games, I feel like games like Road Rash, and obviously this game now, Road Redemption, I feel like they still have a solid spot when it comes to just gaming in general, that it's been neglected over so many years because developers and publishers have seen that, you know, first-person shooters...
Finally, a good racing game.
Well, yeah.
I'm tired of realism in racing, that's why.
Right. I mean, it's, yeah, like with Forza and that kind of, well, again, you know, numbers speak. If you go back and you look at the total sales for games, especially for the PlayStation 1, like Gran Turismo, Turismo, that was like the number one sold game for the entire PlayStation launch. And it's like, are you kidding me? The system that had like Crash Bandicoot and Final Fantasy 7? It was Gran Turismo.
Well, Final Fantasy 7 was the game that, like, saved, like, people bought PlayStation specifically for Final Fantasy 7.
Right.
And they basically, like, saved each other.
I mean, and if you look at, like, just sheer, like, dollars and cents.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, no, this is great. Like, I'm glad that, again, like, I hope people take notice. I hope this game does extremely well, and I hope that it kind of spawns, you know, like-minded people who are like, no, these games, they do have a future in this style. There's a lot of things that you can do with this style of genre that haven't been done yet.
What the hell? Flatout is another game that's similar to this, minus the weapons, but you, like, crash each other and shit like that. That's a really fun game. I do want to see more out of this genre, rather than just racing. I want to see, like, some just ridiculous shit. I like the speed that this game goes at, too, because it's just watching someone... Like, running someone into, like a telephone pole that's going by at 100 miles an hour.
Yep.
And just seeing them just immediately disappear. Into the back and behind you is pretty fun. I used to play at, like, a game that was like this, but, like, extreme sports. I can't remember what the game was called, but I fucking loved that game.
So it was like brutal and...
Like, you would, like, skate, like, you would race, but, you know, different characters would be on skateboards or luges or rollerblades and shit like that. Yeah, it was a good time for me.
I have no idea.
They should make, like, a Mad Max version of this. That's what it kind of reminds me of.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
For sure.
Is there any... I mean, what compared to Road Rash... Because you remember a lot more of that game than I do. What compared to Road Rash about how's this game its own thing, and what is as similar outside of just the first glance?
That's kind of the problem, is there isn't anything new here. I mean, other than, you know, just updated graphics and, like, certain weapons and stuff. But, like, the core gameplay mechanics, it's Road Rash, like, through and through.
So what would you like to see then? Because, I mean, we talked about earlier with Stardew Valley and that new Magic game and Harvest Moon and how they made it their own. Like, so what do you think they could do to make it their own and make it more fun? as a fan?
Oh, man. I don't even know. Putting me on the spot and shit? Are you trying to make me, like, just shell out free game ideas?
Yeah.
I feel maybe if there was, like, some sort of RPG aspect to it. If I could build a character, like, that was one of the things I liked about Road Rash, which, at least for the PlayStation, which is not, unless if I didn't get that far into this game, that I got into
like
that
a campaign
one,
mode?
Basically, yeah. So, like, in the, in Road Rash for PlayStation 1, like, you had to get the shitty bike because you didn't have the money for a cool bike.
Right.
So, you had to lose races. Like, you had to come in third and fourth and fifth and sixth and take those, you know, $200 purses and $300 purses. Because you would save that money up, and then you could buy the better bike and get the better wheels and then upgrade your weapons and all that stuff. Like, okay, so we're seeing, like, a store here, but it's, like, it's not as in-depth as I would want it to be. You know what I mean? So, with that, if you could kind of pull in...
It is early access. Who knows what they're going to add?
Well, that's true.
Maybe they'll listen to this show and be like, well, we've been doing
son
this
of a bitch. If you could pull Aaron in... Wonder. If you... Fucking, hey, I'm for sale. For anything. If you could pull in kind of like a Nemesis program like they did with Lord of the Rings.
That would be cool.
How cool would that be?
Rivals, so it was
you could do rivals. You could just do like you could do the very Pokemon thing where it's like your brother or your friend's brother who, you know, just hates your guts and always picks the opposite of what you pick and kind of do that rock, paper, scissors thing with it and his ass is just like on the road. You could do a sand people-esque part of this where, like, you have a group of people who are completely against what you're doing, so they create their own hazards rather than just people driving on the street.
I think, like, even more than a campaign mode in general, I think maybe, like, a career mode would be pretty cool where, you know, you could... It would kind of help the leveling up aspect of it where maybe you get sponsors or whatever, and they can be ridiculous sponsors, like... You know, like weapon makers or some shit like that. You know,
sure,
whatever. and work through the story that way, and just building up yourself as a career outside of just like you're a badass on a bike. Get better.
Yeah, like it would not take a whole lot of work to turn this into like a Death Race style game.
Death Race.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Where like it's more about the characters and the bike.
Shitty movie.
Than it is
cool game idea.
Yeah.
Which is essentially what Twisted Metal was, I guess, kind of.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. Well, would you say that Road Redemption has redeemed Road Rash so far? Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to find out what the reason. But yes, I think so.
Well, I think it's time to hit the road.
To free fun?
To free fun. Okay.
Great name.
3, 2, 1. This week on Free Fun, we've got Holy Suit, a physics-based game, which is nice to see in the free world. Physics are not an easy thing to master.
Physics are expensive.
Physics are math, and that's the problem. That's the real problem. Holy Scoop. Scoop? Holy Suit to the Escape Pod is what I was trying to say. Really cool physics-based game. You are... basically, your ship has exploded. And you must reach the Escape Pod before your oxygen runs out. Without taking too much damage. And you got missiles that you can blow shit up with. And you gotta go through all the junk that's floating around. And you gotta... just like in space... You have to take into account inertia, the lack of friction. You gotta slow yourself down. You're going at like fucking, what's the speed? Like 75,000 miles an hour, something like that. How fast is?
Like the speed of light, or
no, like
in general.
What the fuck is that movie with Sandra Bullock? They gave a speed at how fast the space junk was flying through the.
55 miles an hour? Oh, no, not that
many. It was like thousands.
Oh, you're talking about that terrible fucking movie that wasn't even really a movie. It was just CGI. What was that name? What was that movie?
The whole movie was like an allegory for birth or something. There was a lot of shit.
Fucking what? Where did you find that?
There was a lot of imagery that made her like
trash. It's called trash, Josh. It's straight trash.
There was a lot of imagery that made her look like it, like she was in like the womb, like she was in the window of the space thing.
Abort. Just abort.
Whoa, edgy, Eric Hunter.
Started on the right foot here. No, I know what you're. I don't remember what the name of the movie is, but I know what you're talking about. That movie's terrible. Anyway,
fast. I forget where I was going.
Yeah.
It is by Mitron. I'm not sure how you would pronounce that. You can find it on Itch.io. Of course, the link will be in the description if you're watching the recorded version of this. I really like the simplified graphics, but it works really well. I think it's more the color scheme than anything that kind of makes it work graphics wise. Yeah. It's all about the physics and gameplay mechanics though in this game. Would you like to see this game fully developed into something that would be like people would pay for on Steam?
I mean, yeah, I will always say yes to that question, regardless of the game.
What if it's shareware?
Well, I don't know. I was a big fan of the Wii.
Because we were supposed to talk about that in the news. So
we were. Oh, well, wait till next. Or I'll do a 20-minute rant, and I'll just post it on my site.
Okay, you can do that, too. Whatever.
You can do that, too. This, I want to know what else you could do with this. So, like, this game reminds me of No Time to Explain by Tiny Build.
Yeah, a little bit. I can see that.
I feel like the big thing with that game was the story and the interesting bosses. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious as to, because to me this is like, so this game is slated as being in alpha.
So which is time to explain without gravity.
Right. Which is a neat idea. I don't know. Like I want to know what the hook is. Like, what is it to get me past the first 10 minutes of the tutorial? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see that yet.
Well, so they have some things on their to-do list. So they're going to add, they're going to balance some things, and they're going to add unlockable characters.
And a story mode. Okay.
If you're into that sort of thing. Yeah. Story mode, implementing new enemies. So that'll keep you going once they get that.
Yeah. I will applaud them. I downloaded the manual for the game. It's mm-hmm. a full color PDF, which I am all for.
By like, Premium Guides?
Yeah, man, I tell you what, slap a spine on this bad boy and put it on my shelf.
Primo, right for anyone nowadays.
I mean, do you blame them? There's no market there.
Yeah, no one buys it anymore.
Yeah, like the only ones I buy are like from games that are 20 years old, so.
Pokemon.
No, I thought the manual was a nice touch. I was like, oh, wow, like, when do you see this anymore kind of a thing, so.
They should get an indie box.
Oh. I mean, yeah, it'll help them develop the game, for sure. Oh, you mean physical.
Yeah, physical things that people don't do anymore.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Although that was pretty cool. I'm not. That's not a shit on indie box. I was just
making it's just a terrible joke.
Fucking joke, yeah.
I think this has legs, though. I'll give this legs.
Actually, it has jetpacks.
Well, I mean, does it? Because using the gun, so to move around, so not an actual jetpack.
What you like fucking semantics, say? Man.
Just want to say
semantics.
It's what you're saying. It's science.
Well, you know what else is semantics? Whether or not you would call this the end of the show.
Oh, I was like, what are you talking about? I just need to quit. I need to quit looking into. I need to quit looking for content in the segues. That's my problem.
Okay.
If I quit looking for content in the segues, then it'll be fine.
Yeah.
So.
Do you hear about the lady with the third tit? It's the end of the show.
I don't get it.
I was purposely making a out of context segue. That's in-game riot quality, ladies and gentlemen. If you enjoy this kind of quality, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/indiegameriot. We really appreciate your support. You know, like $5 a month. You could do more than that if you really wanted to, if you're feeling extra generous. But $5 a month, you sacrifice one coffee from Starbucks a month. If you don't like coffee, then you're sacrificing a small percentage
candy
of your
cigarettes.
Alimony. I don't know. Candy cigarettes? Yeah. That's like a fifth of a gram of weed. I don't know what, How much does weed cost?
Man, I have no idea. Like, you were asking the wrong guy when it comes to that stuff.
I'm hip, man.
Are you? Are you with it?
I'm with... I do the Mary Jane.
Yeah?
Not really. No. Yeah. But we do appreciate your support, and it will go towards improving Indie Game Riot, as well as Indie Revolution Expo, which is... You can find more information about that on our website, indiegameriot.com. If you want to contact us, you can send us things like news or suggestions to feature things, whatever, critiques, dick pics to Eric, which I kind of sent you up with an email address now, I just realized.
What? And just for dick pics? Awesome.
Just for dick pics.
I will never check it.
And your business cards will have just the penis.
No, it's an arm, right? It's supposed to be a...
I don't know emojis either.
No, that's it's a Always Sunny
show. Okay, yeah. Don't watch that show.
No, you don't.
No.
No, sir, do not.
And so dick pics to Eric Hunter. You can send them to contact@indiegameriot.com. That's the email. Or you can just go to Twitter @IGRPodcast or facebook.com/IGRPodcast. We're also on Steam. We have a curator page, so check that out. I'm not going to give you the address because it's too fucking
long. Yeah, Steam like doesn't give you... steampower.community.com/user/...
Fucking Steam.
Yeah.
Their shitty browser. Any last words, sir?
Keep on gaming.
Yeah, and and again, welcome to the team permanently.
Thanks.
Thank you for all the help that you've done before, and thank you in advance for the help that you're going to give now. And of course, you can check out Eric Hunter, his website. I am Eric. All right. Now I get your shit all mixed up. Why don't you make it all the same?
This is no fun.
So it's ericmhunter.net.
That's the main site.
I am Eric.
M.com.
Fucking, you do it. It's your thing now.
So ericmhunter.net is for all things me.
Yeah.
That's what you said. And then I am ericm.com for all things indie games.
There it is.
Which I guess I can't really say anymore because now it's Indie Game Riot. So.
Don't seem so upset about it.
I'm not.
We've acquired your company.
I have not touched that site.
In a hostile takeover.
So. Right, yeah. Burning down my doors.
We ruin all that you love and care about. Anyway, say goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, sir.
Toodles, sir.